Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 1 The Spiritual Masters, Text 44. Please repeat.
Yadyapi
Amara
Guru
Chaitanyera Dasa
Tatapi
Janiye
Ami Tanhara
Prakasha Yadyapi Amara Guru Chaitanya Radasa
Yadyapi Amara Guru Chaitanya Radasa
Tatapi janiye ami tanhara prakasha.
Tatapi janiye ami tanhara prakasha.
Yadyapi.
Even though.
Amara.
My.
Guru.
Spiritual master.
Chaitanyera. Of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dasa.
The servitor. Tatapi.
Still.
Janiye.
No.
Ami.
I. Tanhara.
Of the Lord.
Prakasha.
Direct manifestation.
Translation. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Please repeat.
I know him also
as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. Because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, is the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna and is the original spiritual master. He helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes. And he is a servant of the Lord. Every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. Spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord Himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord. The revealed scriptures prohibit one's pretending to be God. But a bona fide spiritual master is a most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna. Translation again. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Today's verse describes Lord Nityananda, and it also describes every spiritual master. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. He is the first expansion of Lord Chaitanya. And as such, he is the first servant of the Lord, and the spiritual master is the servant of the Lord. In fact, every living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Jive Swarupai Krishner Nityadas. And the spiritual master is also the servant of Krishna. And in fact, even the expansions of Krishna, such as Baladev and others, Vishnu Tattva, are also servants of Krishna. They take pleasure in the service of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. And similarly, the expansions in Chaitanya Lila, such as Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, although they are Vishnu Tattva, they also take pleasure in the service of the Lord. And therefore, they have the sentiment that they are servitors of the Lord. So although Nityananda Prabhu is the first expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is a direct manifestation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in the mood of service to the Lord, and he takes the greatest pleasure in service to the Lord. So the spiritual master serves the Lord as all living entities do. And the spiritual master also teaches the science of Godhead. He has knowledge of the Lord, and he teaches others. As the first expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu is the first person outside of the Lord himself, outside of the original personality of Godhead, to have knowledge of the Lord and thus to be able to teach others about the Lord. So the spiritual master, or the acharya, is the representative of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda teaches the science of Godhead, and he personally engages in the service of the Lord. And all of his representatives in disciplic succession, they also perform the same functions. It is stated in the Shastra that the acharya knows the principles of the scriptures, he follows the principles of the scriptures, and he teaches his disciples to do the same. Srila Prabhupada has performed the duties of the acharya, and he has taught us to serve Krishna. He has practically engaged us in the service of Krishna. And our duty is to follow his instructions. Once in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada raised the question, what is the duty of the spiritual master? And different disciples gave different answers. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada himself gave the answer that the duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada asked, what is the duty of the disciple? And again, Srila Prabhupada finally gave the answer himself, that the duty of the disciple is to assist the spiritual master. Then Srila Prabhupada said that he had established the temple there, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir. And as the servant of Krishna, it was his duty to perform the worship of the deities. As the servant of Krishna, it was his duty to clean the floor of the temple room, to keep the temple clean in every respect, to do all the services required in the temple. So that is his duty. And we, as disciples, when we are asked to worship the deity or clean the floor, we should think that actually this is Srila Prabhupada's duty, but I am helping him. We shouldn't think of devotional service as a chore or a job, but in the mood of surrendered service to our spiritual master, we should feel that whatever we're doing is to assist him in his service to Krishna. Thus, we aspire to be the servant of the servant of the Lord, or the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. Then, what are you? Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. So in the material world, everyone wants to get ahead. Everyone wants to be the topmost. Everyone wants to climb the ladder of success to the top. But in devotional service, we want to be the last servant in the line. Dasa das anudas. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture. In fact, there's a nice verse quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that as long as one desires bhukti or mukti, or as Srila Prabhupada has paraphrased it, as long as one wants to become more and more important, either in the material sense or the spiritual sense, he cannot taste the real pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So in one talk, Srila Prabhupada was making the same point, and then he said that the more one wants to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and he moved his hand like this, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the more Krishna consciousness becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So our ability to taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness depends on our service mood. The mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And the more we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the more we can relish the nectar of devotional service. Once one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that there's quarreling in the temple, there's quarreling among the devotees. What is the solution? And Srila Prabhupada replied that if each disciple thinks, I'm the servant of the servant, I'm the servant of the other servants, then there will be no quarrel. There will be no conflict. We quarrel because we're not thinking, I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. You think, I want to be topmost master. So Srila Prabhupada said, if every devotee thinks I'm the servant of the servant, I'm the servant of the other servants, then there will be no quarrel. So we are in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, Kali means quarrel. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel. But we should not allow Kali Yuga to enter, we should not allow Kali to enter our association. Our association should be in the mood of service. That's what Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport, that the spiritual master trains the disciples in the mood of service. So we should be in the mood of service. We should teach the mood of service and exemplify the mood of service. Then Krishna consciousness will be very sweet. But Kali always tries to create quarrel. Kali means quarrel. And we should keep Kali away. And how do we keep Kali away? By Harinam. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami lists all the anomalies of Kali Yuga. And there are so many anomalies. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, if someone has a disease somewhere, say someone has a rash somewhere, you can put some oil on it. But if the person's whole body is covered with rashes, you have to dunk the person in a vat of oil. So he said Kali Yuga is like that. You can enumerate the faults of the age of Kali, but actually there's fault everywhere. You cannot look anywhere without some fault. And therefore, we have to immerse ourselves in kirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, after the list, after enumerating all of the defects of the age of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit was concerned that what is the solution? What is the cure for the ails in the age of Kali? And Shukadeva Goswami replied, Kalo dosha nidhi rajan, that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. It's not that there's a drop here or there, or a puddle here or there, or even a lake, but it's an ocean. Kalo dosha nidhi rajan asti hieko mahatguna. But still, there's one great opportunity, one good quality. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. By performing kirtan of Krishna, mukta sangha param brajat, one becomes freed or liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga, from the bad association, and one can achieve the supreme destination, the supreme goal. So we should always be chanting. Whenever we have a moment, we should chant. Even when we're doing other services, we should chant. And if we can't chant out loud because of circumstances, then we should chant within our minds. When we first went to India with Srila Prabhupada in 1970, he dropped a few of us off in Delhi. We had actually gone to Amritsar for the Vedanta Sammelan with Srila Prabhupada. And while Srila Prabhupada was in America, he'd been corresponding with a man in Delhi named Gupta. And I guess Mr. Gupta had written, I guess Srila Prabhupada had written Mr. Gupta that the train from Amritsar was going to be halting in the Delhi station for 2 hours, and Mr. Gupta could come and meet him at the station. So the train arrived, and Mr. Gupta came, and he really begged Srila Prabhupada to start a center in Delhi to lead some disciples. So Srila Prabhupada called Guru Das and told him the situation, said, "I'd like you to get down, like you and Yamuna to get down and see what you can do." And then Guru Das wanted a few devotees more to help. So it was decided that I and a devotee named Gopal and another devotee named Bruce, who later became Banu Das and then Banu Swami, so we got down in Delhi. So we didn't really know anyone, but Srila Prabhupada had a few friends from before he went to America. So he sent us the name of another, turned out to be Gupta, R.D. Gupta. And R.D. Gupta was a pretty, well, proud man. But not only proud, but impersonalist. My body. So anyway, we visited him. He had a very nice estate, and Srila Prabhupada actually stayed with him for some months before he went to America. And this Mr. Gupta, R.D. Gupta, told us that whenever he would speak with Swamiji, he said Swamiji would always have his hands in his bead bag, and under his breath he'd always be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. He's always chanting. Now, given that Mr. Gupta was a Mayavadi, there may have been added impetus for Srila Prabhupada to chant while he was speaking. But still, the principle is there that Srila Prabhupada was always chanting. And that's what we should do. I recently met one of my god brothers, and he told me he had begun this practice of always chanting in his mind. He said he doesn't really tell people about it, but he told me that whenever he's not doing anything else that requires his complete attention, he chants within his mind. And he said that way nothing really bothers him. I mean, that's not why he does it. It came up because we were in a meeting, and in the meeting I said something that I thought might have embarrassed him a little. It wasn't my intention. My intention was really just to make another point, but later I thought maybe I made him, put him in an awkward position. So afterwards, I sort of apologized for saying what I did and explained that wasn't really, you know, I didn't say it to put you in an awkward position, but I just wanted to make another point. And then he said, you know, whenever I'm not doing anything else, I'm always chanting in my mind, so nothing really bothers me. Now that's not, of course, to say that he's like an impersonalist, like everything is one, you know, shanti, shanti, everything's okay, I'm okay, you're okay. But it means that his mind doesn't get fixed on petty things that, you know, would make him upset for no good reason. I think that's basically what he's saying. Because his mind is fixed on the holy name. Otherwise, we can very easily be distracted by small things and become very preoccupied with petty things, obsessed with what this one said, that one did, and so on. Audibly is best, but even if not audibly, then mentally, but with attention, then Cheto Dharpano Marjanam, all these dirty things get cleansed from the mind. And, you know, we taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So chant, always chant. Srila Prabhupada told of a cartoon. Well, I guess some devotee told Srila Prabhupada, but then Prabhupada would quote it in his talk sometime. An old man and an old lady were sitting on a park bench, and the old lady was saying to the old man, chant, chant, chant. And the old man was saying, can't, can't, can't. He's so stubborn. With the same effort that he was arguing against chanting, he could have been chanting and getting the benefit and enjoying. So that is the influence of Kali. Although we know how valuable the chanting is and how easy the chanting is, but we don't do it. Or we do the minimum, but not more. But like chant, 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 always chant more and more. Like distribute books. Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. I just want to do more and more. So that should be our mood. We always want to do more. Not, I've done enough, you know. Leave me alone. Hey, back off, back off. I've done enough. Get someone else. Now, of course, it's true, especially as we grow older, that we do have physical limitations, and sometimes we do have to, you know, we have to be intelligent enough to know how much we can do. I mean, that's there. But it should be in the mood that I wish I could do more. You know, unfortunately, I have this body that limits me, so I can't do more, but I really wish I could, and I'm sorry I can't. But not like, how come I have to do it? Why not him? You know, how come he gets off easy? We pray to Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada and all of our spiritual masters to infuse us with the mood of service, so that we just want to serve more and more and more, and eat and sleep less and less, and not quarrel at all. that we can chant the holy names without offense. And that we can teach others about Krishna so that they can also all together with us experience the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
My Shiksha Guru Uttamakrishna Goswami Maharaj used to use a trick, and his critics will say that he cannot chant Hare Krishna. So he asked the question, what did you say, what you can't chant? The critic will say, I told you already, I cannot chant. And he will again ask the question, what you cannot chant? I told you that I cannot chant Hare Krishna. So two or three times he will trick. And the person, a critic, will say, I cannot chant Hare Krishna. And then at the end he will say, you have done enough for that day.
Very good. Very good. Did everyone hear? Yes. Lord Chaitanya used to do that. The children would mock him. Not exactly that, although he did that also, but the children would mock him, and in a sort of sarcastic way, they'd say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya would like block his ears and say, don't say that, don't say that. And then being in their naughty mood, contrary mood, they would do it even more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He'd say, no, no, don't say that, don't say that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, sometimes have to use reverse psychology. Yeah, I heard something like that too, that he would challenge the audience that if you seriously chant Hare Krishna for 6 months, and if you don't feel better at the end of 6 months, I'll give you $10,000 cash. The principle is that we should hear. I mean, once I asked Srila Prabhupada the same question in Surat, and he said, just like you're talking to me and I'm hearing you, that's how you hear. You just have to hear. The trick is, or the challenge is, to be attentive. And yes, we want to hear the holy name, which is, it's sort of, it's beyond the voice. I mean, like the deity. We want to see the deity, and the deity is not different from Krishna, but you know the original form of Krishna is beyond the elements that the deity is made of. So the holy name also exists beyond our articulation of it. And therefore there are different stages of chanting, and as one becomes more advanced, one actually appreciates the holy name per se. In describing the different stages of advancement, one stage is ruchi, which means taste. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the, you could say, beginning stage of ruchi, or the lower stage of ruchi, one has taste for kirtan, but one's taste depends on, you know, the melodiousness of the performance. Whereas in a more advanced stage of ruchi, one just appreciates the holy name independent of whether the person is singing on tune or if the instruments are being played properly. I mean, of course, because we're preaching, we want to make the kirtan as nice as possible. And also because we're not that advanced, we want it to be as nice as possible, so we can also appreciate it more. But when one is advanced enough, just the holy name of Krishna, like independent of the musical presentation of it, that's enough to give pleasure to the devotee who's hearing it and chanting. So we hear, you know, in one sense there's no difference between hearing the voice articulate the holy name and hearing the holy name. But at the same time, the holy name is beyond the voice. And one could actually get distracted from the name by the voice. Like when I first joined in Boston, there was a very nice devotee named Nanda Kishore. For a while, he was the main or one of the main kirtan leaders when we would go out on Harinam Sankirtan. And there was one tune that he would sing where the ah in Krishna was very elongated. Like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, you know, I was trying to hear the holy name, but that ah was so elongated, like, you know. So I asked him about it, and he said, you know, that's true. When I sing those long ahs, I always fall into Maya. So, it is possible that, well, that hearing the voice or hearing the musical instruments, one could be distracted from the holy name, even if it's part of the process of kirtan. So whatever it is, we want to focus on the holy name. I think in the beginning one chants more slowly. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, in the beginning, it's sort of good to chant around in 7.5 minutes. But then later, when one's more practiced, one can chant around in 5 minutes. But you have to really like chant and hear, not just rush through it to be done with it. In the beginning, I would chant quite slowly because I wanted to hear, but then automatically after some time it went more quickly. But in the beginning, because I needed that time, you know, I thought chanting slower was better. But then I heard that one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada about it, and Srila Prabhupada said that slow is not more spiritual than fast. So it's not really a question of slow or fast, but it's a question of what you need to be absorbed. Not too slow or not too fast. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Now I want to share one more personal experience with Tamal Krishna Goswami.
Yes, please.
25 years ago, he taught me the science of chanting properly.
Mm-hmm.
I first met him 28 years ago in Houston, Texas, and I was very impressed with his Bhagavad Gita lecture. Then with Krishna's mercy, I was posted again in Houston and working in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And in a one-to-one session, he asked me, do you chant? I said, yes. He said, what do you chant? I said, I just take holy names, Ram, Ram, in the morning, before breakfast. because that's what my great grandfather had taught me. Take the name Ram twice in the morning. So he said, what else do you chant? I said, I chant Gayatri Mantra. And he said, do you know Mahamantra? I said, yes. He said, can you chant? I said, yes. And he said, do it right away. I said, okay. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare. He said, very good, but can you do it the other way around? So he never attacked, he never criticized like a spiritual master step by step. And I said, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he clapped and he said, very good, can you chant this Mahamantra twice a day? Not one mala, two mala, just this Mahamantra twice a day. And reason I got a conference with him is that I came during lunch and I just turned the TV on, and that particular day he was being interviewed by a TV channel for 45 minutes.
Wow.
So I forgot the lunch, I watched the whole program, and next day when I met him in the temple, Shri Shri Radhani Madhav, I said, Gurudev, I have seen your interview. And he said, were you watching me? I said, yes, all 45 minutes. So I got his attention and he said, okay, come and talk to me. You are the only Indian who has watched the entire interview, so come and talk to me personally. So, and then gradually he asked me to chant two rounds of Mahamantra. So that is the way, you know, a spiritual master or shiksha guru, rather than criticizing me.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped me in developing the taste of
it. That's nice. But they can criticize also. When you were describing in the morning how you said Ram Ram twice, it reminded me of the first time. Well, there was this man in Bombay named Mr. Sethi, you know, very nice devotee, P.L. Sethi. And at the time, he lived way out in the suburbs in Goregaon. And we had an apartment in central Bombay, Warden Road. But still, every Sunday, he would invite the devotees to do Nagar Sankirtan in Goregaon. And then after the Harinam, the devotees would come to his house and he'd serve them a big feast. So, he described his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada asked him what he does in the morning when he gets up. And he said, well, I wash my mouth and I read the newspaper, I have a cup of tea, whatever, you know, bathe, dress, and go to work. And Srila Prabhupada replied, and what is the difference between you and a pig?
Direct attack.
Yeah. But that, you know, that was Srila Prabhupada and that was Mr. Sethi, so we can't imitate, but it's the guru knows what's best for the disciple, and he does what's best to lead him along the way, as you said. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.